Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer, and this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. And we talk about your questions about estate planning, Medicaid, getting care in the home, staying at home. And it's a call-in show, so we'd love to have you give us a call. Our number here is 518-476-5900. And we will soon have another guest joining us.
Yeah, don't ask me any questions.
That's right. Well, you do actually know a lot from listening to the show every week.
So. Yeah, I'm learning, you know. How can you not? But, I mean, it's great. And, yes, do call in with your questions because that's what it's all about. 476-5900. Do you want to ask a question? Jane Marie is here. Kim will be here in a couple of minutes.
That's right. And we do have a bunch of events coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about that because we are big supporters of the Alzheimer's Association.
Yes, indeed.
And this is really our the big season to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association.
Right.
And there are four walks that we are participating in.
Four?
Four, yes.
Okay.
All over. The first one, let's see, is on October 5th, and that is in Schenectady at Rivers Casino.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to do a little good and have a little fun,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's a very pretty area.
It's really pretty over there. It's very nice.
Yeah, nice place for a walk.
That's right. And then the following, let's see, I think they skip another week. October 19th is Queensbury.
Oh, nice.
So for those up north, that's a very lovely place to go.
I'd say Thursday?
No, these are all on Saturdays, these walks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Looking at the wrong calendar.
Yep.
Again.
And then October 26th is our Albany Walk, and that's at Siena College, where they've had it in the past. That's really nice.
That's
there.
Great.
A really great place.
Right.
And then on that same weekend, the 27th, is the Troy Columbia Green Walk, and that's at Bruno Stadium in Troy.
Wow.
And so that's kind of for the more southern people. It used to be down in Columbia County, but they moved it up to Rensselaer. So it's a new place if you're looking for that.
Right. So look for those walks. Participate if you can. We'd love to see you.
That's right. Yeah, there's many ways you can participate. You can go online and you can donate funds. You can come and walk, start a team, you know, to raise money. There's lots of different ways you can do it. Sometimes, you know, people create a team and say, all right, well, you know, pay $5 for every mile that I walk.
Right.
Although it's not a multi-mile walk. It's a short walk.
Right.
That's right.
But it's still all important.
That's right. It's all important.
Yeah.
So, you know, and wear purple for all of those events.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Yeah. Springtime. I mean, sorry, springtime. Whoa. Whoa. Flashback there.
Yeah, you're close.
Fall. Fall is a lovely time for these walks.
Yeah, it really
you're
is.
You're dreaming a little bit there, Jane Marie.
Yeah, not too hot. Oh, Kim just walked in.
That's all right.
Here.
Hey,
all right.
Kim.
Good morning.
So, yeah. So we encourage you to either raise funds, donate money, or come walk with us if you just want to come and hang out at the tables and on a nice lovely fall day, not spring day.
Yes, because we're going to guarantee very good weather for all of our walks.
I know, if it's weather like today is beautiful.
Yeah.
Out there.
Oh, yeah, it is nice.
That's right. There was a nice mist coming off because it was a little cool over the river.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to warm up to 83 today, so that's good.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually a little too warm, honestly.
Eventually, it's going to come to an end, but it's going to be 80 right through, I'm looking at the forecast, Friday.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's what they're saying now. They could change. You know?
This what they call the Indian summer.
Yes,
I guess so.
That's right.
Is that kind of appropriate anymore?
I was wondering. I don't know. But that's what we always called it.
That's right.
So unless somebody tells us different, I guess we're sticking to it. I don't know.
It is the late days of summer.
The late days of summer.
Although I'm glad because, you know, I've seen Halloween stuff out since August. Mm-hmm. And everybody was sort of rushing into the fall thing.
I know.
So I'm actually kind of glad because it's nice to have nice weather, you know, rolling into fall as opposed to just rushing it. Because it is still summer, right?
It is. It is. September 22nd is the first day of autumn, I think.
Yeah, for another week or so. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like it because it gives me another week to do all kinds of things outside that need to be done.
Yes, take care of that stuff. Yes, indeed.
Does anyone want some tomatoes?
Hey, bring them in. Bring them in.
I laughed as I came in because there were some tomatoes sitting on
the edge
there.
We got them in the
there.
Hallway.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, people everywhere are trying to get
Jay Maroon,
rid of
them. I can't get rid of, you know, you can't find enough people to get rid of. Gardens have been great this year.
Well, remember me next year if you have that same problem.
Oh, okay. The tomatoes, I'll bring them in.
My wife and I love them. They're just wonderful, you know, for the summertime. We don't get them often, and just once a year. And and sometimes when you get too many, you know, I hate to see you throw them away, but it happens. You have to, you know, you can't.
Yeah, my chickens can only eat so many, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what else is going on, Jay Marie, outside of, I know we talked about walks a little bit, but we also have some fun things coming up. We're doing, talking about walks, right? We're going to have Food Truck Fridays.
That's right.
That we're hosting at the office. And one of Isabel and Dave's good friends, neighbors, owns a food truck. And she has very graciously been willing to donate 50% of the proceeds. Both
generous.
October 11th and October 25th. Those are two Fridays in October where we will have the food truck. They'll be in the back parking lot of our office at Corporate Woods, so 7 Corporate Woods.
Oh, okay. Plenty of room.
Rear parking lot there. It's Press New York, which is what her food truck is, and we're very appreciative of her and her willingness to come join us. But looking at the menu that she does pressed paninis.
Those are going to
be on the menu for those 2 days.
You have to love food trucks, and I give those people a lot of credit. That's not easy work.
It's not easy work.
Compared to a brick and mortar.
And then, to be willing to donate,
That's
you know,
really
50%
great.
Of the proceeds for the day is pretty incredible. So she's going to run the food truck from 11 to 1:30. Those 2 days.
Anyone in the area can come, right? If you work nearby or you don't work and you just...
Make a special trip because
you want to make
to the cause. That's great. And then... we're going to be hosting a Dine to Donate up in Queensbury on October 17th at the Tavern. Good friend Tim Sokol also does trivia. His brother Matt owns the Tavern. And so we're going to do a Dine to Donate. He's going to do trivia that night.
Ooh, that's
and
fun.
25% of the proceeds that evening come to our walk team.
Good.
So we're pretty excited. Right? We've got some fun things going on to help... you know, not only raise some money, but the awareness as well, which is so important. Mm-hmm. And we've got another event that we're going to be hosting with Capital Cardiology and Albany Guardian Society. Again, the Healthy Brain, Healthy Heart. Mm-hmm. And now I have to, I just had that date on the tip of my tongue. And now,
I mean, there's a lot of research. I mean, I'm not a medical expert, but connecting the two, right? And whatever you're going to do, that's good for your heart health is also good for your brain health.
100%.
Right.
There's a lot of research and correlation now. I mean, we've heard for many years how important it is to have a healthy heart. But, you know, your brain is what operates everything. So promoting healthy brain awareness is super important, not just from, you know, the prevention of disease and things like that, but just keeping all systems go for a much longer period of time. So it's one of the things that we're really shifting and something that we're really encouraging our clients to learn more about. Because as we all know, none of us are getting out alive, right?
And that's
one of our things that we...
One way of putting it.
Well, you know...
True.
You can't sugarcoat things sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hardest things that we do sometimes is sit with families that either haven't taken care of themselves or have had a lot of, you know, just tragic things happen to them. And so doing all that we can to maintain ourselves for a longer period of time and be more healthy, I think, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
It
helps us in the planning process to obviously be able to sit down and do a plan for somebody that's a lot more healthy than an individual that may not be or may not have as many choices. So,
well, we did what I think is always very educational because we've done it in the past with our whole office was the simulation of like we had a little exercise where we sat all together in the conference room And we did some things to, you know, like make it dark, wear glasses that made you see funny to kind of simulate what it's like to be older or and have Alzheimer's. And then we all did a mental status exam.
And nobody passed.
No one passed. I got a miserably low score. So really low. And just want to understand like how hard it is for someone with either difficulties seeing, difficulties hearing, difficulties writing, then having to answer all these questions. And this is the test that you would get if someone, you know, I mean, there's a short version of it and we did, you know, a longer version of it if you want to test your memory and your capacity.
Right.
And that's what they do in the doctor's office. So this was just kind of a little taste of that to see how hard it is.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and, you know, because I do, you know, again, I think one of the things that we pride ourselves at our firm is that we're all very sort of, you know, aware of what our clients are going through. And we want to make sure that, you know, the experience they have from beginning to end is helpful and good. And I think just going through an experience like that kind of brings us back to like, wow, this is sort of, you know, what somebody experiences, and we have to remember to slow down how we talk to people or how, you know, somebody might be relating to us. And those are all really important things. And I think it just helps when we're, you know, having that empathy for someone else when they're going through a tough time. Like this morning on my way here, I ended up getting behind every granny driver there was. And I just kept thinking, just take a breath. It's okay. You know,
it's actually good that they're driving slow.
I guess, yeah, you know, my, you know, the majority of my drive is sort of 2-lane country roads until I get you know, about more than halfway here. And it's just frustrating, right? Because there's really no safe place to pass. And so I just had to keep saying, it's okay. It'll be okay regardless.
It is frustrating.
You know,
it's difficult. Yeah. I think we all can relate.
That's right. But, you know, those people are out there still driving. And, you know, I guess if they're being slow and being careful, that's better than them being reckless. So
Right.
Well, and that's one of the things that we deal with, too. I mean, one of the things that, you know, so often in working with families, you know, one of my roles as the social worker and is really sitting down with families and kind of having those tough conversations and talking about how do we approach somebody about safe driving or how do we talk to them about maybe it's time to get a little help in the house.
Yeah, those are tough conversations.
It is. You know, but they're important conversations to have.
Yes,
And there's a wide range of responses. You know, like sometimes the, you know, parent is saying, okay, I don't think it's safe for me to drive anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And they do, you know, voluntarily give over their keys.
Right.
I would say that's not as off common as not. But, you know, some of them say, I don't want to drive anymore. It's okay. And then you have the other end where they're, you know, doing everything they can.
That's difficult. I went through that, and I'll never forget it. I mean, you're taking away the car keys because you have to. I mean, it takes away that person's independence, and I understand how awful that would feel. A friend of mine had a trick because I'll tell you what happened with my mother. I took away the car keys. She found a hidden set of car keys and took off the car. You disconnect the battery. In the car, and then you know, sell the car, of course.
Right,
but that'll do it.
Right, so they don't know why it's not starting. Right,
and they just can't go anywhere.
They just can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the tactics, too, particularly with somebody that might be in more of a, you know, late, beginning, or earlier, moderate stage, that becomes the most challenging, typical stage that we see that people deal with. Because there's still an awareness of things, and there's also an awareness that something's not quite right.
And it's scary.
It is, and, you know, the driving thing, sometimes we're taking the car to be repaired, and it just doesn't come back. And, you know, sometimes they do forget that the car is no longer there, but sometimes they don't. And, you know, I, Jane Marie, I don't know if this was maybe with you or Phil, but we had a gentleman, family took away the keys, they did, you know, they did all the things, but he just went and bought a new car. When he couldn't find his keys, nope. And like he just was like, well, there's multiple. So there are still some problem solving, you know, but I mean, we laugh, but there are still, you know, and the car dealership really didn't know, right? No, not to sell him a car, but So sometimes it is very challenging. Sure. And,
and I'm sorry to interrupt, but we'll talk more about some of those challenges and how we can help you handle them and plan for them right after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hantz.
And we were just talking a lot about, you know, individuals with Alzheimer's or, you know, how to help them. And, you know, this week I met two clients. It wasn't Alzheimer's, but it was, neurological diseases. Mm. Where both had, like, unusual diseases that affected their movement. In both cases, they have not received a diagnosis yet of what it actually is. But what was the same about both of them is one is going to need 24-hour care, like, right away.
Ooh.
And the other one is soon going to need 24-hour care, but not yet.
Right.
And the first person I met with, they were meeting with me just to get a will and a trust done. They really had no idea about Medicaid and home care Medicaid.
Mm.
And they were going to pay privately. $900 a day to pay for home care.
Right.
And had no idea that that was something they could receive help with.
Right. Which, you know, as you and I discussed when we were kind of running the numbers quickly at your desk, very quickly, that, you know, amounted to about 26,000 a month. And
that's right.
That's, you know,
incredible amount.
Yeah. It is incredible. Right. And, you know, it was awesome for you and I to sit down and really kind of, you know, talk back and forth about what some of the options be and some of the planning techniques that we could put in place.
Sure.
I think we have a call.
Yeah, we have our friend Diana is on the phone. Good morning, Diana. How are you?
Good morning. I just wanted to say that when I had to take the keys away, I blamed it on the doctor.
That's a good way to do it. That's right.
And
did that work?
My mistake.
Oh, no, did we lose Diana?
Yes, I lost Diana.
Oh, no.
I was trying to get it. We had another call coming in. I was trying to get
it. Oh, no. Sorry.
So, Diana, I apologize. Please call back. We'll get you.
That's right. Yeah, but I think that's a good thing to say, that the doctor says it's not safe. And I know a lot of older people, well, not just older people, but they respect their doctor's opinion, right?
Well, right. And the doctor actually can write a script to have a driving test done. So there are a couple of occupational rehabilitation programs, one through Sunnyview and then up through Saratoga Hospital in Saratoga, that the doctor can write a script. The Medicare will pay for it. That you can do. They'll do first a written test.
Oh,
and actually just sit and talk with the individual. And then if they feel like they pass those types of things, they'll take them out and actually do a road test. So sometimes, though, it's just making modifications to the vehicle to make it a little safer.
Right.
You know, as we get older, we shrink, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's readjusting the seat, the pedals, the steering wheel, so rear view mirror, so that things are easier to use correctly.
That's right.
Do we have another call?
Yeah, this is Garth. Our friend Garth from Greenwich is with us this morning. Hey, Garth, how you doing?
Hi, good morning.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question?
Well, the question concerns Medicaid and the idea of spousal refusal. And since most things are, as far as I know, with Medicaid, they're administered by the county.
Yes.
And what's the actual likelihood of a county deciding to claw back for that mm-hmm. money after a spousal refusal? And I'll actually hang up so I can listen to your answer.
Okay, sure. No, that's a great question, and we do talk about that a lot. And it is county by county. But let me back up and explain a little bit what he's talking about for those who don't know. So when you apply for Medicaid, there's a certain amount of assets that you and your spouse can have. And sometimes if you have more assets or more income than what you're allowed, you can sign a spousal refusal. And that's saying that me as the spouse, you know, the one who's not receiving Medicaid, I need to keep this extra money to pay for my own need, and I can't use it to contribute to the cost of the care of the spouse who's receiving Medicaid. And what that does is you sign the spousal refusal, your spouse gets Medicaid, and then, as you said, it goes to the county then. And the county can decide whether to just let that go and accept it or to sue the spouse for those extra assets. And I think, you know, some counties do it more than others. It's dependent on a number of factors. You know, I think they're going to look by how much you're refusing, right? If it's a little bit over the amount or if it's a lot over the amount, that's probably going to be a factor. You know, some counties just don't have the bandwidth to honestly do a lot of these cases. So it depends on the county attorney and what their workload is. And the way you can defend those cases is you can show what your expenses are. So whenever we're defending one of those, we would ask the spouse to, you know, give us a list of what it costs for you to live, right? And what you expect your expenses to be in the future. And oftentimes we can show that you do need these this money to support your life. And also, you know, even beyond that, once you get to the point of the county coming after you for the spousal refusal, you can negotiate with the county, right? And come up with a number that's reasonable to pay. So it's not a bad thing to do. You know, some people are kind of afraid of the spousal refusal, like I'm abandoning my spouse or, you know, the litigation that follows. But it's not really that bad. And most times, I would say most times it just goes through. I haven't seen counties doing it a lot at all lately. I think we've only had one or two in the past year.
Yeah.
If I had to put a number on
it. Right. And it's definitely a tactic. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, that we want to follow up with spouses continually mm-hmm. with the plan. You know, that's the other thing that you and I talked about, like when we're planning for one spouse that we know. But then you know, we just had this recently happen to a family where the primary caregiver, you know, mm-hmm. unexpectedly mm-hmm. passed away and mm-hmm. very quickly. Mm-hmm. And we had done all the planning, transferring to that spouse, things like
yes.
that. So now mm-hmm. we always want to be aware and kind of have those ongoing conversations with people so that mm-hmm. We know what's going on so mm-hmm. that we can, mm-hmm. you know, undo things that we might have done mm-hmm. in a planning process for somebody.
Right, right. Right, because if you put all the assets in the name of the well, we call them the well spouse, right? Or the spouse, you know, the community spouse, there's a lot of names for that person. And then they pass, right? You don't want all those assets now to go back to the spouse who's in the nursing home.
Right.
Right, so that you want to make other arrangements where it goes into a trust, maybe for that spouse who's in the nursing home.
Right.
To help pay for extra things, as well as maybe some of the money going to the children. So it's really a lot of planning that goes into this, you
Correct.
Know, beyond just getting that person on Medicaid.
Well, and it's the same thing with community Medicaid. You know, when we talk about that the house is exempt and all that kind of stuff, of course it is during the life of that individual. But there is also, you know, some counties that will, after death, if there was no planning done for the house, like being put in a trust, things like that. So
actually, I've seen a lot more of those lately
yeah.
than their estate recovery cases.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pass away, if you have an estate, and if you have an estate, by I mean, like the house is still in your name, you haven't done a trust, the county is now going to put a lien against the house or a lien against the estate to actually recover.
You do not want that.
No, and I've seen that happen a few times,
yeah.
You know, where they didn't necessarily come with us for the early planning.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of the lien in the one case is more than the value of the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's
And that's definitely not something that we ever want to see.
Right. No, that's right. Yeah.
Because that's, you know, again, that's an asset that most people have. That's their biggest asset, and it's something that we
usually their biggest asset.
You know,
right.
We've worked very hard for, and for that to be able to pass on is a great thing. So we always want people to be able to do the planning that's allowable and available to be able to do that. We are starting to hear some chitter chat about a look back happening, right?
Yeah, for community Medicaid.
Yeah, that's sort of been in the balances for a while, and it's been pushed back. But we are hearing that it may happen April or July of next year. So it does sound like it's coming down the pike.
And this is something we've been talking about for a while, about community Medicaid, where currently you can apply for community Medicaid without a look back period. And for many of our clients, that's what we're doing. We're setting up a trust and applying for community Medicaid at the same time. We don't have to wait the 5 years like you would for nursing home. And what is probably going to come down the pike is a 2.5 year look back period. So no really change to what we're doing. We're still going to do all the same things.
Right.
But it's just very important to get it done in advance. You know, I meet with people and they're like, when should I do the trust? Yeah. You know, probably around retirement age is a target age. If you have, you know, an idea of some illness that runs in the family, maybe you want to do it younger.
Right.
But you want to do it well in advance of the time that you need the care.
Right.
If at all possible.
Right. And even from an estate planning, you know, excuse me, I'll use myself as an example. My husband and I, you know, we're going to be traveling out of the country together for the first time without our daughter next week. And it gave pause for me to kind of, I need to look back at how we have everything set up, right? Because now she's of age.
Right.
She's 20. So things are much different than it was when she was 10 and we originally set up our documents. And so that's one of the things that we've been revisiting because, you know, at 20, if something happens while we're overseas, certainly, you know, we want her to be taken care of, but we don't want her
to get it all.
You know, to get it all, right?
That's right.
At 20 years old. And so we've kind of sat down and made some provisions and changed how some of our documents are reading because we want to make sure that, you know, that she'll be okay for at least the younger part of her lifetime and not blow it all. But that's also something, you know, a lot of times we do focus a lot on the elder care part of things, but young families too. And these are conversations I have all the time with my friends. And it's funny, like, you know, I have a family member as a back, you know, as a co and a friend, they're co POAs. And, you know, I was having the conversation with all of them last night. As far as like, I need you to be aware that this is what we want. This is how it's set up.
These
and they're
are
like,
tough conversations.
You're being so morbid. I'm like, no, I just need to know that I can leave, have a great vacation and not really worry about these things. And that nobody's going to be surprised.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you really have to do that and kind of put things in order. And like you said, once it's done, it's all there, you know. You don't have to think about it all the time. But
well, and important to revisit things, too. I think sometimes we forget, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, I've taken care of that. It's done. But situations change. Life changes, you know, so it's really important to have those continued conversations. Check in.
Right.
You know, we always tell our clients,
right.
You know, every 3 to 5 years, it's good to come in and just sit down and say, hey, I want to take a look at things. And we're happy to do that.
Yes, we are happy to meet, see if things need to be updated. Well, enjoy this wonderful weather. It may be the last weekend that it's 80 for a while. And have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.